Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. Cleo Pascal, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, is here to update us on the intentions of the U.S. Congress and three important sovereign states in Oceania, the vast Indo-Pacific, but these three states in particular are the line of sight between Hawaii and the Philippines and the South China Sea. In other words, in the event of conflict, these three states are profound for the ability of the U.S. to reinforce its allies. Palau, the Federated States of Micronesia, and the Marshall Islands. We begin with the Marshalls. Cleo, a very good evening to you. FSM, Palau, and the Marshall Islands have renewed their relationship with the U.S., but it's called the Compacts of Free Association. But there's a big but here. What is it? It has to do with Congress. Good evening to you, Cleo.
Good evening. Yes, the Compacts of Free Association outline how this very, very unique and fundamentally important relationship works between these three independent countries and the United States. They are independent countries, but through the compacts, they've assigned defense and security rights exclusively to the United States. The U.S. can operate in land, sea, and air in those countries militarily. It can, it has strategic denial. It can veto other countries' militaries visiting that area. And so it does give this incredible corridor of freedom of deployment from Hawaii to the first island chain, to the Philippines, to Taiwan. They're contiguous with Guam and up to the Marianas. So they're absolutely essential for U.S. Pacific defense. And it was that relationship was created through the blood of Americans who died in battles across that region, battles like Peleliu in Palau or Truk in FSM. Those defense rights are not renewed. They're sort of continuous until one side pulls out. But the financial and services components are renewed every 20 years. And yes, the agreements have been signed, but they go to Congress and they've been caught up in everything that's happening in Congress. So they technically expired in two out of the three countries on the 30th of September. Parts of it were included in the continuing resolution, but now we don't really know what's going to happen because Congress may take a look at the deal and not like it, or some of the elements of the deal. Palau doesn't renew until 2024, but the deal that it has agreed for 2023 is really what's needed. So Congress can't wait until 2024 to renew it, even though they might try to kick the can down the road like they did. They didn't include Palau in the continuing resolution. So it's really kind of a very, very unfortunate timing that's caught up critically important allies to the three also recognize Taiwan in a complete mess, leaving a huge opening for China.
Gordon, you have a question for Cleo.
Cleo, which of the three doesn't recognize Taiwan?
It's the one in the middle, the Federated States of Micronesia. And that's also the country where former President Panuelo wrote three letters detailing very focused Chinese political warfare, and that's the term he used, political warfare and gray zone activity in his country, including activity around the undersea cables, attempts to distort democracy, personal intimidation. And in fact, he and his family have been intimidated again in September. There are photos of him being followed, his family being followed in September, even though he's out of power. The PRC, wants it known that if you go up against them, if you complain, your life will be miserable for a very long time. So that's kind of the case study for how what China wants to do in the other two. Both of the other two, Palau and Marshall Islands, have elections coming up. Marshall's is in November. And there's a lot of Chinese activity on the ground to try to put in place administrations that will walk away from Taiwan and potentially undermine the compacts.
Cleo, Congresswoman Radowagon from the area has been a lead voice on this in Congress. Is she satisfied the compact is moving correctly?
Congresswoman Radowagon, who's from American Samoa, is one of the most remarkable members of Congress I've ever come across. She is from the area, as you mentioned. Her father played a very important administrative role. She's Samoan, but her father worked in the trust territories in these areas before they became independent. Knows them deeply, is personally connected to them. Her name Amata, her first name, is named after one of the first leaders in Marshall Islands, and she has been instrumental in leading this process through Congress. From what I've heard, from what she said at the hearings, you know, this is definitely not an ideal agreement, the perfect can't be the enemy of the good in this case. Although I think that there are definitely going to be some amendments that she'd like to see happen before it gets approved. Although the goal is definitely to get it approved.
Gordon, you have a question.
Cleo, you have long talked about Chinese interference in the affairs of these three areas. Does the United States actively oppose Chinese efforts?
No, we have, in the case of the Marshall Islands, for example, there were these two Chinese who somehow got Marshallese citizenship and tried to set up this country within a country. They bribed a bunch of Marshallese officials. I can say that without fear of being sued, because they pled guilty to that in the U.S. in a New York court. And then after having pled guilty to having bribed Marshallese officials to essentially set up a country within a country where they would have had enormous influence over customs and immigration, the U.S. deported one of them back to the Marshall Islands without the information that the Marshall Islands Attorney General needs to prosecute that person, or indeed to prosecute the corrupt Marshallese officials who are now running for re-election. So not this. That was a case where, and this is ongoing. The second person hasn't been deported because he's currently serving his time, but based on precedent, he could also be deported back to the Marshall Islands. So it was a situation where the U.S. had the ability to help the country clean up its own system. The case was ongoing, and for some reason, it not only didn't do that, it sent the guilty parties right back into the heart of the corrupt political system right before an election.
Is there any unusual activity by the U.S. Navy in and around these three sovereign states recently? Anything you've heard?
No, there isn't. And that I would like to. I'd like to see more U.S. activity in the region, and including kind of more civil action teams, more community outreach. The Mercy, the military hospital ship, could be going there and helping out. The Seabees could be helping out with more. They're doing some, but doing more. So I would like to see more of this sort of positive U.S. activity to show why this relationship is so important to the U.S. and how they value what the people of the region value, which is democracy, security, and just being able to live free.
Cleo Pascal, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. Gordon Chang, I'm John.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.